Ladies and gentlemen, and those who identify as both, welcome to an episode of The Red Rum Den, all things horror, true crime, and paranormal. I am your host, Robbie Red Rum.
Here's Robbie!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an episode of The Red Rum Den with your host, myself, Robbie Red Rum. Bam, 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 bam. So, I'll let you guys in on a little secret. I did my whole entire first episode and it never recorded. So we're back again doing this. You know what? It's my first time doing this on my own. As you guys know, I was a part of a studio before and I wish them honestly all the best. We both are going to be going two separate directions and that's totally okay. Sometimes it doesn't happen the way you expect things to happen or want them to happen, but they just happen. And I am very thankful for everything that was shown to me, taught to me, happened. And I'm just so, so, so grateful and thankful for the other company to help me out. But it's a solo show now, you guys. So welcome. It's all me. And are you wondering who we're going to be doing today? This is the one on Jerry Brudos. Who is Jerry Brudos, you may ask? He is known as the Shoe Fetish Slayer. Jerry killed at least four women and used their dead bodies for his sexual fantasies, which means he was a necrophile and a serial killer. Jerry Brudos was born on January 31st, 1939 in South Dakota. So, in early years when Jerry was in first grade, aka 5 years old, the year was 1944, and little Jerry decided that he was going to find a pair of stilettos in a junkyard and go from there and essentially take them home because they caught his interest. I mean, same. I love stilettos too. So Jerry, I see you. Stiletto gang. But when he brings them home, his mom shows so much disdain for those shoes, ladies and gentlemen. When his mother saw the shoes, she got so enraged and she winded up yelling at Jerry so bad for taking home the shoes from the dump and having stilettos. So we also do have to remember this is the 40s, ladies and gentlemen, and those who identify as both. The problem is, okay, homophobia runs wild. You can only imagine your son bringing you home a pair of stilettos. She would be like, okay. So essentially, guys, what's happening here is that, you know, she's like, holy shit, my son's bringing home stilettos. This is disgusting. This is probably anti-religion, all that fun stuff that we all go through and deal with. However, because of any reference, there will be many throughout the season. So I can only imagine how many howevers or references to My Cousin Vinny there will be. There will also be a counter at the end of each season of how many My Cousin Vinny references I can fit into true crime. Because, you know, it's the law offices of Vincent Gambini. My Cousin Vinny, y'all. Go watch it. So the mom yells at him and gets really upset. What happens? Well, she tries to get rid of them, but he takes them and tries to hide them again from her. She gets so angry this time that she goes and she burns them in the backyard. That kind of pisses off little five-year-old Jerry that the shoes that he liked so much were, you know, pretty much thrown away and burned. So let me give you a little backstory on Jerry and his mother and why this is such a very big moment. So Jerry, okay, is one of two. He has an older brother, Larry. And what happens is with this is his mom has Larry. She's very happy, very excited. You know, I have a son. Everything's going great. When it's time for Jerry to be born, they learn that they're having a boy again. And Jerry's mother desperately, guys, desperately wanted a female, okay? And she treated him like true shit. But here's my thing. You wanted a girl. You got a son now bringing home stilettos. I'd just be like, all right, it's not the right body, but I got my girl. You know, like, you still got your stuff. You can't fault it. But we'll continue. And it gets very, very sad going on. But, you know, I like to keep things lighthearted, happy, fun. So we're going to go from there. Okay, here we go. So Jerry's mother constantly abused him when she wanted a girl and wasn't pleased with another son. Jerry would then go on to steal more shoes and create a collection. So he was a collector of women's shoes. That's fun. So he would create this collection of shoes, and then he winded up moving on to his neighbor's panties. It's not said exactly how he would get them, but I'm guessing he would break into the house and get them, or I don't know if they were in the trash and he would get them, but he moved on to panties, which is very, very interesting. Jerry would then go on also and get caught stealing his first grade teacher's shoes out of her desk. Obviously, he got in trouble. He got caught. Mom found out. Pissed again. It's just so interesting to me, you guys, that this could be happening like that. You know what I'm saying? Well, here we go. When a teenage girl visited the family, she felt comfortable laying down on Jerry's bed to rest since she was a family friend. She was woken up to him trying to remove her shoes. In 1956, when Jerry was 17, he prepared well in advance for his first assault. First, he dug a hole in a hillside where he planned to keep girls as sex slaves. Then, wielding a knife, he abducted a teenage girl. Damn. This is a lot, guys. Okay, so let's just go from there. So let's break down those three segments, okay? So when he's young, this teenage girl visits the family. She felt comfortable laying down on Jerry's bed to rest since she was a family friend. She was woken up to him trying to remove her shoes. Issue number 7 going on here. So that happens. And then supposedly from the issue with the teenager to 1956, when Jerry was 17, he prepared well in advance for his first assault. First, he dug a hole in the hillside where he planned to keep girls as sex slaves. So, like, that's a long time not to do anything. And then he just went, boom, wow. Then wielding a knife, he abducted a teenage girl, beat her up, and forced her to take naked photographs for him. I mean, a lot's going on psychologically. You know, just like when he was 5 years old, Brutus was caught red-handed. He was then sent to a psychiatric ward of Oregon State Hospital after an evaluation was done with doctors. They noticed his hatred towards his mother and other women. This is where the story is going to get very interesting for you. So obviously this girl didn't die, but he was caught. It was handled. He was sent to the psych ward, and they did, and they noticed red flag, boop, boop. He hates women. He hates his mother. This is where it gets very interesting, you guys. In the hospital, Brutus' secret obsessions came pouring out. Doctors learned about his collection of women's clothing and, disturbingly, his fantasy of putting kidnapped girls in freezers so he could rearrange their frozen bodies into sexually explicit positions. That right there. Who at 17, their sexual fucking fantasy is to take... So you want to kidnap girls, kill them because you can't put them live into a freezer. Kill them, put them into a freezer, freeze their bodies, and then what? Defrost them and then put them in sexual positions and fuck them? That's disgusting. That's fucking nasty. This is where I get very frustrated, you guys. But for some reason, the doctors didn't think there was anything seriously wrong with him. Who the fuck is giving out fucking doctorate degrees these days? Who is giving out MD degrees? I want to see the credibility. I want to know how you could just become a doctor and then see this shit and then be like, there's nothing wrong with him. Give me a fucking white coat at that point. I could see this shit from a fucking mile away. Dr. Phil ain't even a real doctor. He got a TV show. Maybe we should do Dr. Robbie Redrum. At this point, I'm not a real doctor, but shit. I can still see right from wrong. We could have saved 4 fucking innocent souls right here, right now, at this point. But let me continue. They claimed that the boy needed to grow up and mature a little. The hospital then released Jerry Brutus back into public. So, ladies and gentlemen, doctors who are psychologists heard that Jerry wanted to kill women, put them into a freezer, okay? Make sure that he could unfreeze them and put them in sexual fantasies. And now all of the sudden, we're just going to throw him into public. That's like being in a pool, taking an alligator out, being like, well, he has no tooth decay, so we're going to throw him back in. Ma'am, no, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Okay? This man should not have been thrown in there like this. Okay? But we're going to continue. Brutus graduated high school and joined the army in March 1959, but was discharged by October, possibly due to his alarming obsessions. First of all, I want to know, because I've done, obviously, the cases aren't still up, they're down, because that was with the other production company and now we're starting fresh. But why do a lot of killers join the army? That's what I want to know. Like, I really just want to know why, and why are they accepted? Why is your evals not better? Again, this is like, you know, late 50s, beginning of the 60s, but I have many questions. After a lovely stint of living back home where he met and married 19-year-old Darcy Messler. I can't say it, so it's Darcy. Hi, Darcy! The couple moved to Oregon where they had two children. I'm not going to give their names because their names I'll explain later. From the outside, Bruto seemed relatively normal to friends and neighbors. They all recalled that he neither drank nor smoked or even used profanity. Seems like a great guy, right? I mean, he would be a great guy, no? But Jerry's sexual fantasies permeated his marriage. He demanded that his wife pose around the house naked. And while she was posing around the house naked, he asked her while she was cleaning if she could wear high heels. For a few years, Darcy went along with it. Here's my thing where I say, like, BDSM saves lives. He was looking for a sub, I guess, to just, like, go along with his sexual shoe fantasy and posing naked and all that stuff. I mean, granted, he's a sick fuck. He has problems. But another thing, too, is just with this is... going forward, okay, we got to realize how sick he is. But this point right here, I feel like we need to take a step back and be like, no, no, this is kind of the only normal thing I think I can say. Here we go. Let me explain why. I'm a Leo, okay? Wow, I can't speak, words are hard. My astrology sign is a Leo. For those of you who believe in it, great, you'll understand. For those of you who don't, I'm sorry for this next moment, but I'm a Leo through and through. I love attention. Hello, I have a podcast. No shocker there. But let's talk about this. If my man told me, hey, babe, you look so sexy. Can you clean the house naked in high heels? I would literally sit there, push all my hair to the side, my invisible hair, and be like, what color? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, what color would you like me to wear for you, sir, because you are buttering up the right person. So my biggest thing is, like, let's not judge this part. I mean, it's very important, but let's not judge, because I could see myself doing the same thing if a man gave me attention and said, you look sexy, wear some heels and clean for me. I'd be like, sure. Okay, so moving on. After a few years of marriage, Darcy and Jerry's relationship became strained. Now, the reason why it became strained, you guys, is because Darcy started focusing more on the kids and not on Jerry's sexual fantasies, which pissed Jerry off, which kind of sucks because that means I can't tell how good of a dad he was then. I mean, there's no info on how he was as a father, but I will say this, like, if you care more about your wife in heels and being naked than you do about your own kids, that's an issue. So, since she wasn't meeting his demands, what did Jerry do? He resorted back to old behaviors, and Jerry started prowling the neighbors' houses for women's shoes and underwear, looking for an outlet for his obsession. In 1967, he found it. Jerry had been walking downtown while he noticed a woman, specifically her shoes. He followed her home and waited for her to go to bed. Then Jerry broke into her house, strangled her to unconsciousness, and raped her. When he was done, he took her shoes and left. Then Jerry broke into her house, strangled her into unconsciousness, and raped her. When he was done, he took her shoes and left. So again, this was the first time that, like, he really was able to successfully go through with, you know, beating up and raping and leaving and not getting caught at this time, okay? This encounter proved to be irresistible to Brutos. He later testified that the woman's limp body aroused him. So get a sex doll. Okay, moving on. However, the next time Jerry didn't have to go looking for a victim, someone came straight to him. Uh-oh. Linda Slauson was a 19-year-old encyclopedia saleswoman who came to his home on business. Now, I feel like I have to stop here because I notice I have a wide range of people who follow, like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff at the Red Rum Den. Ding. Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Brutos, okay, wasn't interested in encyclopedias. Now, again, I keep throwing that word encyclopedia around, and some of you are probably like, what is that? Encyclopedia, ladies and gentlemen, is a book of information that you used to have in your homes to have. It was pretty much paper Google. Bam, 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 bam. Finally, I'm telling you, words are hard. I don't know why, but words are hard. So an encyclopedia for you Gen Z little kids is pretty much, you know how you have your phone and you open it up and you type in google.com, and then in that little search bar you type in, you know, who is, or where's the Appalachian Mountains, or stuff like that. That was all an encyclopedia. It's not like today where six-year-olds are getting brand new iPhone 12 Pro Maxes and they have it on their phone. But the sad part is you all may have a cell phone in front of you, but some of you still need a fucking encyclopedia. And I mean that wholeheartedly. So Linda Slauson comes to his house. Okay, she's 19 years old. She's selling encyclopedia books. What happens? While his family's upstairs, he hits Linda over the head with something and strangles her to death. After killing Slauson, he stashed her body in the garage. He then cut off one of her feet and stored it in the freezer. I'm sorry. See, I was writing a little fast, people. And what happens is it turned into chicken scratch, which I go back to my point. Where's my white coat? Because I write in chicken scratch too. I could be a doctor. We both have the same handwriting. And also too, let's take a quick point here. I want to give a shout out to all my nurses, because without you, doctors ain't shit. Let's just call it out. Let's just say what it is. Without nurses, doctors ain't shit. My cousin's a doctor. If he watches this and gets upset, I'm sorry. But without your sister, and I mean this, doctors ain't shit. To my cousin, who's a nurse also. But yeah, nurses, you guys do a lot. You're able to take a piece of paper that has a line drawn across and be like, oh, this is the prescription that he wants for you. It is a talent. It is a true amazing thing. And I thank all my nurses and I salute you. Obviously, I have a problem with doctors because you couldn't fucking pronounce this man. So. After killing Slauson, he stashed her body in the garage and then cut off one of her feet and stored it in the freezer so he can model it in different shoes. Was this a second refrigerator in the garage? Did he bring it into the house and wrap it in something different? I have questions, you guys, but like I couldn't get the answer of where the actual foot was stored. Anyway, shortly after, he tied Slauson's body to a car engine and dumped it into the Willamette River. This is where Jerry Brudos's 18-month killing spree has now begun. While dressed in women's clothing, Jerry Brudos kidnapped his next victim, Karen Sprinkler. So my mans is out here running around in full goddamn drag. He got the full gilda on and everything and kidnapping people. I ain't even gonna say nothing. Comment down below what you think, because this is a lot, guys. This is a lot. He kidnapped Karen Sprinkler by gunpoint from a department store parking lot. He brought her back to the garage and made her put on different types of underwear while he photographed her. Jerry then raped her and hanged her by the neck in the pulley and strangled her to death. I keep repeating that because I want you guys to understand what this goddamn woman went through. He had sex with her dead body several times before cutting off her breasts to make plastic molds. Why are you making plastic molds of titties? I thought you liked feet. Why you need plastic molds of titties too? He then threw her body in the river tied to a car engine to weigh it down. But titties? You got a foot already. Why you need... This freezer gonna be fucking full, man. In the fall of the same year, Brudos killed again college student Jan Whitney. So Jan's car broke down, and what happens is Jerry was a knight in shining armor and decided to offer her a ride. And then he strangled her and raped her dead body in the car. Jerry later then hoisted her body from the pulley in his garage and had sex with her corpse multiple times. So I want you guys to realize, so he'll hang them up by this pulley and then have sex with them multiple times. So it wasn't just once. It wasn't a one and done. Like, it was multiple, back to back. Disgusting. At one point, he cut off her breast and made a resin mold of it so he could use it as a paperweight. You got a paperweight titty. I can't. I fucking can't. He then threw her body into the river. This time, it was tied to a railroad iron. In 1969, Brudos abducted Linda Salee and brought her to the garage where he raped her and strangled her. Do we see a pattern here, ladies? Serial killer patterns. Every single one had them. He would bring them back to the garage or the car. He would then strangle them till they were dead, and then he would have sex with their body. So he brought her back, and he mutilated her body. Her corpse was thrown into the Willamette River, tied to a car transmission. How is he getting all these car parts? Like, how do you have just random engines and transmissions around to just throw somebody into the fucking river? I mean, it is said that he used to hang around in junkyards when he was 5 years old, so I don't know if he's still going to those junkyards and going in and taking whatever he needed, but ladies and gentlemen, I have no goddamn clue how this is. It's just wild. Jerry used to collect trophies from his victims, which he liked to keep in his garage. To keep his wife from finding out, he would forbid her from entering this part of the house without his permission. Ladies, let's have a talk. Just us. If a man tells you you're not allowed in a certain part of a home that you share, throw him away, throw him out, get rid of him. That is disgusting. That is toxic. Stay away. A few weeks after Jerry Brutos murdered Linda Salee, her body was found in the Long Tom River, weighted down by a car part. Go figure. As the police searched the river, they found another woman weighed down by a car part, Karen Sprinkler. Both bodies had been severely mutilated. The police began to investigate the grisly crimes after investigating a bunch of students at Oregon State University. They began to hear stories of a Vietnam vet who had been looking for young women to go on a date with. So we all know who the Vietnam vet is, okay? Here's my thing, guys. I don't know a lot about stolen valor, okay? I know it's like when somebody acts like they're in the military is stolen valor, but does that also mean if he's claiming to be a Vietnam vet but was discharged, is that a, you know, thing? Hold on. Actually, let me look up stolen valor, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Stolen valor is a term applied to the phenomenon of people falsely claiming military awards or medals they did not earn, service they did not perform, prisoner of war, experiences that never happened, and other tales of military actions that exist only in their minds. Okay, so it's not seen anywhere that he actually did serve in Vietnam. I just know that he went into the military. So I truly believe him using the Vietnam vet was a case of stolen valor and him attempting to use Vietnam to swoon these women into going on a date with him. But here's where he fucked up. One of the women told police that he had mentioned the bodies in the river and made an unsettling suggestion about how he could strangle her. Nothing says go on a date with me like I just threw a couple women in the river. If you like, I can strangle you to death as well. How about I pick you up at 7? We'll go to Olive Garden. They got the unlimited breadsticks. What you think? It don't work like that. As it turned out, the man was Jerry Brutos. Shocker. The police asked one of the girls to set up another date with Jerry. Then they swooped in and interrogated him and then quickly decided to investigate further. After a search warrant of Jerry's home, they had found so much evidence, obviously, as we know about the story, they found so much evidence that they knew that this was their man. There was nylon rope, photographs of the dead women in the most horrifying, horrifying positions. He also kept trophies from every single heinous crime. At some point during the interrogation, Brutos confessed to all four murders, as well as the attempted kidnappings and earlier assaults. Jerry was found guilty of the murders of Salee, Sprinkler, and Whitney, and was sentenced to 3 life sentences. He escaped conviction of Slauson's murder only because her body was never found. So, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, he did get 3 consecutive lives. It's not unfortunate. I mean, it's a great thing. He got 3 consecutive life sentences. It's unfortunate that her body was never found, so they weren't able to fully convict him. But again, he pretty much essentially will do time for until he's dead. So after his arrest, Darcy divorced him, changed her and the kids' names, and they moved to an undisclosed location. Guys, I really want to point this out. Please do not go out and try and find these people. They already have been through so much in their life. Just think, you know, Slauson was murdered while they were upstairs in the same home. I think that's enough damage for you not to go out and question or try and find them and play investigator. There's a thing about being a true crime fan, and then there's a thing about being true crime toxic and not giving these people their space and time to heal. You got the story, you got the excitement, you got it all, but we need to work on that, okay, you guys? So, although Darcy was aiding and abetting her husband in the crimes, she was not convicted of murder and of the victims. Here's my thing, though, guys. Do you believe, and I want to hear in the comments below, do you truly, and I mean this honestly and openly, do you truly believe that she knew? She understood, she knew, she was a part of it, all that stuff. Do you believe that? I want to know your guys' opinion, because, I mean, it says in there, she wasn't allowed in the garage without his permission. He could have hid everything. Like, I don't know how to feel about that, you guys. But I will say this, Jerry Brudos died in 2016 in prison after serving 37 years of his sentence. So he lived a very, very, very long life, which is actually fucking disgusting. But yeah, so we can totally see here and other things. I'm going to do just for you guys right now because I'm bad at math. So we're going to do some math right now. So he died in 2006 and he was born 1939. So that means he was 67 years old when he died, which is still young. But at the same point, like for the heinous shit that he fucking did, that's way too long to be alive, in my opinion. Hate me, love me, whatever you want. That's my opinion. And that's how it shall stay. Okay. So that's pretty much essentially it, everyone. We made it through our first episode. I'm so excited. I got to give a shout out to my friend Boozy. She's been amazing. She helped me through all this as well. And to my friend Clocky and my family for their support and all of you for your support. I can't say thank you enough to all of you. You guys all mean so much to me. This is the first time I've done something like this in my life where I was like, I want to do this. This is something I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to have a show, have a successful show. I want to invite guests. I want to have people on. I want to build upon this show. I want to do more with it besides doing Thursdays, which we are still going to drop every Thursday, guys, is doing on Tuesdays paranormal stories. And I want to build it up to this great, amazing, amazing show. So again, thank you, everyone, from the bottom of my heart, how much this means to me. Okay, you guys, this means so much to me, and I just can't, you know? It's all going to be a learning curve, right? This is my first episode on my own. I hope you all enjoyed this first episode. I had a really good time filming it. You guys, again, you can follow me at The Red Rum Den on all social media platforms. You can also find us on Spotify, on YouTube. I am physically recording this as well, so you guys can watch us and watch our cool little, you know, YouTube views on YouTube. Make sure to please follow us again at The Red Rum Den on all social media platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We even got a Facebook page. So again, you guys, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been The One on Jerry Brudos. I will see you all soon. Bye-bye.